2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may hear and understand and believe and obey. O Father, let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us give him all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Let us rejoice, for you are our God. We are your people now and forever. And Father, we pray that by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly, and that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we begin from verse 18 of chapter 5. It says, now all these things are from God. All the things that Paul was speaking of until that point, namely the new creation and our eternal heavenly reality that is true in it, all is from God. It is the work of God. Just like the first creation, the new creation is also the work of God. Our salvation, the new creation is, in our passage, it is described as God reconciling the sinners to himself. Verse 18b, God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Verse 19 says with more detail that, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. The first thing to notice is this. By saying that God reconciled us, the world, to himself, Paul is also saying that we were enemies of God before that reconciliation. As the sinners were God's enemies. Romans chapter 5 verse 10a, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. No one is born righteous. We used to live according to the course of this world. We're following the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh. And by nature, we're children of wrath. And as you know, our righteous God must judge sin. And the wage of sin is eternal death of hell. That wage, that penalty must be paid, and the righteousness must be achieved. Then the wrath of God is appeased, and we have peace with God. We are reconciled with God. But we, who are the sinners, cannot accomplish this on our own. Thus, this reconciliation is only in Jesus Christ. It is accomplished only by Jesus Christ. That is why we see verse 18, through Christ. Verse 19, God was in Christ. The meaning is the same. Only by Jesus Christ, only through Jesus Christ. God reconciled us to himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The reconciliation is not something that men can accomplish. It is not by men determining themselves to reconcile with God. It is not by endless meetings and discussions between God and men. Verse 19 tells us that this reconciliation was by God not counting their sins against them. And how does God do this? Verse 21. He made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, this is God's method of reconciling us to himself. Thus, this is the gospel. God did not count our sins against us, but God did count our sins against Jesus Christ. According to verse 21, him who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ. This does not mean that Jesus does not know what sin is. But when the Bible speaks of knowing something, it's not just head knowledge. Mary was told that she was with a child, Jesus Christ. And Mary, at that time when she heard that, she goes, I don't know, man. She is not saying that she doesn't know what man is. What she is saying, by saying, I don't know, man, she had no relationship with men. It's about relationship. So when we say we know God, we mean we have relationship with God. And that's how we get to know one another, by having relationship. Otherwise, you just have head knowledge. You know President Trump. You know about him, but you don't really know him because you have no relationship with him. Jesus Christ has no relationship with sin. He never sinned. He was sinless. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22, who committed no sin? Nor was any deceit found in his mouth. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. God made this sinless Jesus Christ to be sin on our behalf. Thus God poured out his eternal judgment of hell and his eternal wrath that we deserve on Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how he reconciled us with him. One died for all, therefore all died. Our sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. He bore our sins on the cross and died for us instead of us. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 6, surely our griefs He Himself bore and our sorrow He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. Romans chapter 3 verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. And not just sins previously committed, for all your sins, past, present, and the future. Thus God does not count our sins against us. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 through 8, but to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. See, this is what happened to Christians. God does not take into account our sins. When He's dealing with us, He doesn't count our sins against us, because He already judged that sin, because Jesus was bearing all of our sins, and He judged Jesus Christ. Thus He judged us in Him. You and I, we have been already judged. That is why there's no more judgment for us, because it already happened. 2,000 years ago, even when we were not born, our sins were already judged. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus Christ died on a tree, hung there for our sins. Thus there is no more curse for us, because He has received all the curse. That is why heaven is a place there is no curse. Revelation 22 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He brought us to God by dying on that cross. But see, He died once and for all. That is why there is no more sacrifice needed. See, when we say something is perfect, it means that you don't have to repeat that again, because it's perfect. His death on the cross is a perfect sacrifice. Meaning that after that sacrifice, there is no need for other sacrifices, because it was perfect. If you have to sacrifice again, then it wasn't perfect at all. This is how perfect your sins have been taken care of. For your sins, even your future sins, there's no need for another sacrifice. There's no need for you to do anything because Jesus has already gave himself as a perfect sacrifice for your sins, all of your sins. God made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Man, I could read that a million times. It's just, that's the good news. Long, 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 long time ago, when I was watching those Jesus movies, I didn't understand the gospel. I was like really young. And I felt so sorry for Jesus Christ because he was dying. It was sad. And because I didn't understand the gospel, that's all I felt. I was so sad. What was I thinking? Did I wish that he didn't die on the cross? What if he didn't die on the cross? Well, then I'm damned forever. Now I look at Jesus Christ dying on the cross through the Word, and I praise God. And I'm so happy that he did that for me. Because if he did not do that for me, there's no way for me to be with him, to love him and be loved by him. Of course, there's some sadness that he died because of my sins. But even that is true, I will not have it any other way. That's only way for me to be reconciled unto God. God made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Our sins are imputed to Jesus Christ, meaning that our sins were considered his sins. And I have to stop and really think about that a little bit. God the Father considered my sins, Jesus' sins. Our sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. But his righteousness is imputed to us. That God the Father considered Jesus' righteousness my righteousness. See, in the Bible, there are three imputations going on. My sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. And Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us. But way at the beginning, Adam's sin is now imputed to us. But thank God that imputation did not stop at Genesis. That my sins are imputed to Christ. Christ's righteousness is now imputed to me. Christ received the eternal judgment of hell because he was bearing our sins. And we are received by God because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. that is now imputed to us. The righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the perfect righteousness. It is the righteousness that he has earned by living the perfect righteous life when he lived his life here on earth for 33 years. He obeyed God perfectly. And that righteousness that Jesus earned by living that perfect righteous life, sinless life, complete perfect obedient life, that righteousness is now mine. I could claim as mine because it is given to me. You know, if you deposit, I don't know, $100 of your $100, if you deposit that money into my checking account, as soon as it comes in and it clears, it's mine. Legally, it's mine. I am able to claim as mine. I could use that as mine because it legally is now mine. That's what it means to be imputed. Now, Jesus' righteousness is deposited into my account and it is cleared. It's mine. This is why I could stand before God as a righteous person. Not because I am truly righteous. Oh, far from it. But I am able to stand before him as a righteous person because I have Jesus' righteousness. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Romans 3 verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Romans chapter 10 verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. These people who wanted to be justified by doing the works of the law, what are they doing? It says they did not know about the God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They did not believe that Jesus Christ has already obeyed perfectly every demand that God has made. But they wanted to create their own righteousness, and no one is able to do that. No one is able to obey God perfectly. And if you want to have your own righteousness, you will miserably fail. You will go to hell. But see, you and I, we're saved because of Jesus' righteousness. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, Paul says, may be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. See, he wants to be found in Jesus Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. We are justified. An only person who is justified as righteous is the person who has the righteousness. But here Paul saying he was justified as righteous in his sight, in God's sight, not by his own righteousness, but righteousness that came from God. The righteousness that God has given. The righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. This reconciliation is just like the new creation, cosmic in its scope. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. It's a new creation. Jesus' death is not just about paying for our sins. In union with him, we die unto sin. We die unto this world. And we are alive to God now and forever. When Jesus died on that cross, yes, he is paying for our sins. But in union with him, the whole world changed for us. Because we die unto sin and we die unto this world. So that I don't have any more relationship with this world. And if you don't believe that I don't have any more relationship with this world, you wait until we go to heaven and I will show you. When I live with you forever and ever in that glorious place, I will show you how that this world has nothing to do with me. And Bible tells us that that reality has been already accomplished. It is our present spiritual reality. And we live accordingly. We live by faith. On the cross, we see the wisdom, the infinite and eternal wisdom of God. On one hand, God had to judge our sins. And on the other hand, God wants to save us. How does God accomplish this? And when we went to retreat, we talked about this, right? This was so-called problem of God. He wanted to save us, and at the same time, as a righteous judge, he has to punish our sins. But once he punishes our sins, then he cannot save us. The solution, then, solution to that problem. Solution of God is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 verse 25 through 26, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed, or the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he will be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, through Christ, through his death on the cross, not only God remained as righteous judge, but he is also the Savior of all those who believe in Christ. See, no one can come up with that solution. That God wants to save and yet he has to judge. How can he do this? The solution is the cross. On the cross, not only he judged us, but he saves us. Oh, the beauty of that cross. The glory of that cross. It is amazing wisdom of God. Psalm 85 verse 10b says it like this, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's the cross. Because he still remains righteous, because he judged the sin. And yet, he accomplishes peace between him and the sinner. Righteousness, peace, kissed each other. That's the cross. Now the ministry of God's church is to spread this reconciliation. Verse 18b gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19b, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do you see? God is begging the sinners in us to be reconciled unto him. God is making an appeal in you to sinners. All those sinners who do not know Jesus Christ, all those sinners who are around you in your life, God wants to make an appeal to them, but he does it in you, through you. You need to see your life as such. I mean, there are many, many aspects of your life, but this is one of them. We know that these verses apply specifically to the disciples of Christ, but we also know that we are able to apply these verses to us in general sense. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We represent God's country in this sinful world. As though God were making an appeal through us, yes, God uses us in his ministry. God is making an appeal through all of us. We must beg, urge, implore, beseech, plead, appeal, make a request on behalf of Christ, telling others to be reconciled to God. We must be the witness of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. And for you, your ends of the world is right here, where you live. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 and 19 and 20. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul wants everyone to pray for him so that he will have ample opportunities, and when that opportunity comes, that he will preach boldly, plead with sinners to be reconciled to God. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must do the same. God wants to use you. He who was in Christ, reconciling the sinful world to himself, now wants to reconcile sinners unto him in you, through you. No, you and I were not accomplishing that reconciliation. Jesus has done that already, but the fact still remains, God wants to do that through you, through his church. You are invited to participate in the work of God of reconciliation. Let us diligently be used by our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for inviting us in your awesome and precious ministry. as a church, your church, let us plead with this sinful world to be reconciled unto God. Oh Father, prepare many, many opportunities for us to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us seek that opportunity all day long. And when that opportunity comes, let us share the hope that we have, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, the hope of being reconciled and be in relationship with our God forever and ever. In that loving relationship. Oh Father, we pray that you would use Christ in Heaven OPC in your ministry of reconciliation. Bring so much glory and honor to yourself using us, your church. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.